do start with that Tosus. So the Tosus asks, why do you have, why is it Ketzer before it says the Yom Havara? They ask straight away how. As opposed to the beginning of the Masechta, where it says Tana Hechakoi by Me'imasai. Right? So there's two answers. One is that it's a Svara. That since it's a Svara, then there's no reason to ask Tana Hechakoi. Right? And the second answer is that it mentioned brachos already by the Valkyrie. Okay, so it doesn't need to say Tanei Chakai, because it's already he already mentioned it in the Mishnah before. Okay, so what's the what are the two answers here? And also, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it's as far till the very end. Contrary, Gemara first tries to find out a pasuk, right? And just because it's as far, why can't it ask, go, where is it? And I let it answer, it's as far, right? So what do we say? That also we don't know what the zebul bracha is, an idea that comes from the very it's a fundamental idea to Judaism. If a person has all the correct ideas, if a person knows the right ideas about the creation and then the Yigdal Karm, the philosophical truths about the world, so then it's the idea of bracha is automatic. Okay. So what's the answer to the question? Why doesn't say Tana Hechakoi? I'm trying to remember.
You can't say
Tana Hechakoi
by a
Svara. Oh, so a Svara, in other words, even though the Gemara starts out looking for a Pasuk, the Gemara knows that it's a Svara from the beginning. Just wants to know if there's also... Svara means that it's a philosophical truth. But a Pasuk means it's a halachic chiyuv. The Gemara is looking first for a halachic chiyuv from the Torah. And it concludes there's no halachic chiyuv from the Torah, but there is still the metaphysical imperative. Right? But according to Tosus's first answer, as long as it exists as a svara, as a philosophical imperative, then there's no reason to ask where it is. Why? Because although the Mishnah is a system of chiyuv, the Mishnah essentially records the system of chiyuv. It expands on the halacha of the Torah. That's the answer to Me'emosai. It says it doesn't have to say Me'emosai because it's continuing from the Torah Shebichsav. Right? But the question between the first answer and the second answer of Tosus is this, that when the Gemara in Me'emosai, right? So the Mishnah says Me'emosai. So the Gemara says, where is it coming from? So the Gemara's answer is, it's going on the pasuk. Correct? So that means to say that what? That the Mishnah can't just start talking about something unless that thing exists before the Mishnah. Right? The Mishnah's not going to posit the existence and then start talking about how in one he's not going to posit its existence by discussing how to do it. First it has to have the existence, first it has to posit its existence, then discusses how to do it. But since the Mishnah is intrinsically an expansion on Torah Shebichsav, so the very existence of Mishnah is presupposing Torah Shebichsav, so all of the information in the Torah Shebichsav is automatically contained in Mishnah. So the very study of Mishnah includes all of the facts of Torah. So it doesn't have to say first in the Mishnah there's a mitzvah to read Kriya Shema. That would be redundant. Right? But the point is that the Mishnah won't talk about something unless its existence is already included in the study of Mishnah. Already exists in terms of the study of Mishnah. Since Torah Shebichsav is part of Mishnah, it does exist. That's the Gemara's answer. But the question by Tosfos is, what if it exists not in the framework of Chiyuv, but it's just a concept that is necessary? It's philosophically necessary. It's a philosophically true idea, but it doesn't exist anywhere in the context of Chiyuv. Right? Does the Mishnah have to introduce it first before it can talk about it? So that's what his first answer is saying. His first answer is saying that since it already exists as an entity through Svara, so the Mishnah doesn't have to, the Gemara doesn't have to ask Heichakoi, because there is no place of a Svara. Heichakoi is when you want to know the source in the Ksav. But if it's legitimate to make recourse to underlying philosophical truths, then there's no sense to the statement, where is it? Where is that truth? It's not a sensible question. So assuming the Mishnah can refer to those types of entities as a given, because they're philosophically true, then there's no place for the question, but where is that philosophical truth? Right? The second answer, Tosfos, is no, that is true, is philosophically true, but the system of Mishnah is chiyuvim, Torah chiyuvim, and those always have to have a source.
So according to that, it wouldn't be inappropriate to ask the question, it's just that they knew about it.
So it's not inappropriate to ask the question, but it already is revealed, its existence has already been revealed, so it was a question that they knew the answer to right away, because the Mishnah has it already. You only ask Heichakoi when it's not in the text of the Mishnah. So then you can say it's in the Torah. But if it's in the text of the Mishnah, you're not going to ask where is it coming from, because it's the Mishnah. It doesn't have to be this Mishnah. So that's the difference between those two answers we said. Yeah?
According to the first answer, why would it have been inappropriate to have written down the Svara?
It's not inappropriate, but it's redundant, because it's redundant. You know already that you have to make a bracha. Everybody knows you have to make a bracha. If you're a Jew and you believe in Gimli Karim, it's obvious that Asr Le Adam Le Yonos Min Olam Zeb Le Bracha, that's a Svar. The Gemara says it's a Svar. The Tanayim definitely knew that Svar. And that's why, according to the first answer, even though I think the Pnei Yeshua has a problem with this also, because it starts out with the Minahani immediately. It sounds like it doesn't know about the Svar until later. I don't remember who some of the Akharim. But it's not a question, because as long as it exists, the Gemara is not saying it's a Svara because they can't find a Pasuk. It is a Svara, of course. The only thing is, they want to find the halachic imperative. It comes out, halachically is only the Darabanan. But the fact that it exists as a Svara preempts the necessity of asking where is it. Because it's here, it's right before us. Okay. How do you want to do this? You want to stop and start them with different things?
I have one big review file. I've labeled review.
Okay.
That's a good idea, though.
So you bring your little toy.
If you want to hear the real Svara, then
you have to listen to this year. He imagines himself at some point at night. pouring through hundreds of reviews to find little snippets of the thing he's looking for. You're never going to listen to this again, admit it. Okay. What's that?
Not until it's organized perfectly.
Okay. Then we have the Machlokas and the Mishnah. Of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Right? That Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachamim say you make a bari pri adama on all things that grow from the ground. And Rabbi Yehuda holds you have to break them up, you have to subdivide. There's Dishayim, and also the Gemara says later there's Zroim, and there's Peros. There are three things: Peros, Dishayim, and Zroim. Question exactly what's what, but he holds you have to do each one. And the Gemara says, why? Because he holds, he says, Baruch Hashem Yom Yom, that's the Shita. Me'ein v'chozo. Tein lo me'ein v'chozo. Right? Where is that? Lama Zion? Lama Tess? Lama Tess? Mem. Tein lo, right? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Chili Yom V'orcha Naso, V'layla Yom V'orcha Naso, El Olom Ha'elucho Ha'kol Yom V'yom. Tein lo me'ein v'chozo. Hachanami. Kol min v'min. Tein lo me'ein v'chozo. Yeah. And Rashi explains on Lamed Zayin that the Chachamim hold, he says, Hadiktani Bari Mine Zroyim Reb Yehudi Diktani Uchol Min V'min Ne'im Rechoso Kim V'Far Zekom V'Pirkin Alibe Hilkach Li'Rokos Bari Mine Dishoyim V'chitim Dizroyim Nehu Bari Mine Zroyim. Now Rashi says, U'Rabbonon Bain Zroim, Bain Yerokos, Bari Pri Adama. V'lo bo'inan l'chol min v'min me'in b'chosa. So Rashi's explaining that it's not that the Machatat the Rabbana, not the arguing, is it appropriate to say the Shoyim or Zroim. They're not arguing about whether it would make sense, that they're not saying that's the wrong thing. It's not like they're saying, no, Bari Pri Adama is the right thing. If you call it Zroim, that's the wrong, that's not a good Shelach. That's not the right bracha. They're saying a funny argument that you don't need to go that far. And Rabbi Yehuda holds you do need to go that far. Right? But they're not arguing on conceptually, is it the bracha that would make sense for these things. Right? Not like the arguing on, it's not like a question of kemach, is it Bari Pri Adama or Shaka? Not like Rabbanim say, you don't need to say a Bari Pri Adama. It's enough to say a Shakal. You know what I mean? Here's a funny kind of machlokas. It's like, do you need to go this far? But that raises the question of how do you know how general and how specific you should ever be? I mean, we hold you can say Shakal Niyeh Bidvaro on bread. We hold you say it on anything. Right? So why do the Chachamim say no, but you need to go this far. You need to at least have Bari Pri Eitz and Bari Pri Adama. And on the other side, Rabbi Yehuda, he says, you go down to Kol Min V'min, Me'ein Berkosa. Why can't you go lower? Go even further. Say every Min V'min, he doesn't mean a different type of trees or different types of vegetables. He means Min, I don't know exactly what he means. You got to explain it, but he means the Shoyim, Zroyim, and Peros. We can go further. Right? So how do you explain the basic? But the thing is that Rashi's telling you is that so how do you explain that? How do you understand how to do that? So we said that that there's a problem on being too general and a problem being too specific. And you're really missing the point. You're missing the whole point of what a bracha is if you go too general or too specific. Essentially, the bracha really is not on this particular food that you're eating. Right? It's, inappropriate to make a bracha on this particular piece of food. That's not the sheva.
Why is it inappropriate?
I'm going to explain. Because that's not the sheva. And to just be general is missing an opportunity of shevach. So what is the shevach really? Really, the shevach is on the system of the world. It's a shevach, not just on the food I'm going to eat, but that there is a system of creation here that provides a constant sustenance to the world. Right? That's a higher shevach. It's a shevach in terms of the bria. And we reference Hashem as a bore in the bracha. But it's not just a bore of this food, it's a bore peros. It's a bore of the system of peros. Bore of the system of Pri Ha'etz, which is one system of creation, and Pri Adama, which is another system of creation. So that's what the Rabbanan, that everybody agrees, that the basic structure is in creation. There's a difference between the ground putting forth food on an annual basis, right, and a something that's kayam, that gives off food perennially, right? Those are the different systems, the annuals and perennials. Where's the gardening expert? Right? Everybody knows this. Annual and perennial. What's annual? and that's the problem. See, that's the problem. Yeah. Terminology is confusing. Annual sounds like it comes back every year. No, annual means it lasts 1 year. Perennial means it constantly comes back. Right? Like a tulip is a perennial. You only plant the bulb once, and every year you get a new tulip. But a daisy is annual. Anyway, so the two different systems. I said you got to know a little bit about the world. So there are two different systems over here. And that's different sheva. That's a different sheva, right? And that's the basic definition of eitz and adama, right? Every school kid knows that. The things that grow back every year without planting them is eitz, and things that you have to plant every year is adama, right? So that those are the two major systems of botany. Yeah. So what's Rabbi Yehuda's argument? So Rabbi Yehuda has a different idea. Rabbi Yehuda has a different idea. He has a different machayev. He has a machayev of tein lo me'ingra koso. And he holds that as long as you're still referencing, I don't know if we got this really clear, but he's saying like this. He's saying, since you can make reference to different processes of the annuals of the Adama, there are different processes. There's Ra'im, Sha'im, Peros. To make reference to different processes within that group of Adama, right? That's not being mema'id b'shevach. It's not like saying thank you for this apple. Because you are referring to the whole process of the peros of the adama through one of them, and you get the added benefit of me'ein birkosa. But he only does that because he has a separate idea of tein lo me'ein birkosa, which the chacham hold is not necessary. That's a separate question. That when you're giving shevach on the thing, is there a kiyum that the matbeya reflect closely as possible the actual machayev of the shevach? So if you're eating gesha, the shoyim, is there a separate kiyum that the matbeya of the bracha should reflect as closely as possible the machayev for the bracha? So he says if you just say bori pri adama, like Rashi says, that's kolel everything. It doesn't show in the bracha any special relationship to the to that which I am, that which is mechayev me on making the bracha.
What is that idea exactly that we should reflect?
It's a difficult question. I mean, it's a difficult machlokas. The idea of tame lo me'im birkoso. I don't know exactly how to define that. But halachically, that's what he holds. Halachically, see, he holds it should reflect it in the bracha, the mechayev of the thing. So since there are subspecies of the Adama growth, so you're not getting down to, so you're still referencing the process of growth of the Adama, and you're combining with it a separate feature of Tein Lo Me'im Birkoso. Therefore, you should do it. The Chum say, no, there's no idea of Tein Lo Me'im Birkoso, so now there's no reason to subdivide.
And there's no equivalent subdivision in category of Peros? Like
Apparently not.
So are those two ideas essentially the same, the being too general, being too specific?
Well, they're both wrong. I mean, there's always one truth and many wrongs. But so in one sense, they're both wrong for the same reason, because they're not giving the right sheva. But you could show why. You could show where they're going off. I'm saying in the at least in when you say borei, you say shakolni abivor, you are referencing the system of creation of the Bria Shemayim Varetz, but you're not reflecting any of the chokhmah of this system. If you say this thing, you're really worse off. I mean, that's why this thing is not even a bracha. It's like only a bracha, at least it's a bracha. But there's no bracha like thank you for this apple I'm about to eat. It's just not a bracha. It's not a sheva. I mean,
why is it not a sheva?
Because it's not referencing any Bria. It's not referencing any system of Chochmah Sabori.
Why does it have to be the idea behind Shevach? Why can't you say the Shevach?
Because that's what Shevach is. Shevach is to show the magnificence of the Creator.
Well, the thing's all for me.
Yeah, also it's like it's all for me.
You have to say it's an idea in the Bria. You can't say that it's something like a Karasatov kind of idea. Like, I mean, I'm benefiting from this apple. So
no, it's not a Karasatov kind of idea. I mean,
what's
not just a Karasatov.
What's wrong with that, though?
You're missing out on a much greater Shevach. You're just blinding yourself. You're on a very, very low, low level. Very, very low level. It means you're not interested in any chachma. You're just interested in your food.
Because I wouldn't have to go and like formulate all these specific like sheva.
That's like Christian. You hold hands and you say, if somebody's going to hold hands, and they say, thank you for the food we're about to eat.
Rabbi Dabda, thanks for the grass.
That's rough up front.
They make it before.
Grace.
So the problem with that is that it's focusing on it's limited. It's you're cutting yourself out from recognizing what this part takes.
Yeah, you're ignoring a much greater thing. I mean, it's always that's like the old example. You tell someone you tell Einstein he does good arithmetic. It's true.
So what?
But also because there are a lot of reasons you're eating this food. There are a lot of reasons you're eating this food. My wife cooked it. Isn't that a reason I'm eating this food? The farmer picked it. I mean, there are a lot of people I can thank for the food. But you can't thank them for creating the system of food. So you're giving God a shevach that really he should share with a lot of other things. That's not a good shevach. So, Interesting is that in Sukkah the Gemara has the other side, right? That the Gemara says, what if you have a lot of mitzvahs to do? You have to take a lulav, you have to sit in the sukkah, you have to put on tefillin, you have to put on your tzitzis. So the Rabbanim say, you can just say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvos Mitzvanu, Ala Mitzvos. Right? And then go ahead and do all the mitzvahs. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you have to make a bracha on each one. Why? Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. Tein lo me'im birkoso. And over there the Gemara passes like Rabbi Yehuda. And over here it passes like Chacham. Right? And over here it passes like Chacham. But we just said there's one big difference between two sugyas. And one is, and that is that by Birkas HaNenin, everybody agrees you have to give Shevach on each system of creation. Right? Question is, can you go lower? Do you have to go lower? You have to go lower. But by the Chachamim, over there, they were saying you don't have to give, you have to give only a bracha on the hisaskos of mitzvahs. That's a machlokas. You don't have to give a bracha on the particular form of mitzvah. In other words, over there, each mitzvah is a thing unto itself. You can't really be kolel them under one bria. I think I had something worked out. We didn't discuss it this year, but I was thinking about something. That over there, the Chum say you just have to make one bracha, right? Allah mitzvahs. So why isn't it a hafsik? Why do you say when I pick up the lulav, now I'm mafsik between the bracha and putting on my tefillin, right? So they apparently hold that you only need one bracha on the whole hisaskus. It's an interesting thing. That if I'm going to be osek in many mitzvahs, not simultaneously, I mean, it's going to take time, right? To make one bracha on the involvement of the Gavra in mitzvahs. It's an interesting thing. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can't do that. You have to give a shevach on each separate mitzvah as an entity. Because you could say, like you're doing a sukkah, that really osik mitzvah potom in a mitzvah. Once you osik in a mitzvah, it's askus and mitzvahs is the main thing. There's no reason to go to another mitzvah. So it's true in terms of this askus, you could say it's all one long thing. Because the gavra is still affected the same way. It doesn't matter which particular he's involved in, he's always considered an osik. Right? But the chachamim say, we have to give a shevach on each separate cause of his askus. I'm saying the other way. Rabbi Yehuda held you have to give a shevach on each separate cause. Chum say ala mitzvos is on the whole hisaskus in the system of mitzvos setting up. But Rabbi Yehuda is saying you have to give a shevach on each mitzvah and each mechayev.
According to
the
Chachamim, when you make a bracha on one mitzvah in general. Is that going on the particular mitzvah, or is it going on the hisaskus that happens to be this one mitzvah? Like, is this their idea of birkas mitzvah in general, or is that just for this case when you have?
It's a good question. It could be they hold that the reason you do it here is you should minimize brachas if you can. Mm-hmm. So since it's essentially on the hisaskus, it's true each bracha you would make on both, and you would mention the mitzvah itself. But it makes like a bracha shen sricha to make many brachas. So they held it's better to make one bracha on all the things. And Rabbi Yehuda, no, you have a separate mechayev on each one to attain lo me'in birkoso. Right? But by the birkas hananin, it's reversed. Why? The chachamim now is saying that, I mean, the sheet is the same, but we pass it in the opposite. The Chum now is saying that what? That you should always say Bari Pri Adama. Right? You should always say Bari Pri Adama. And the Yehuda is saying you should change the Matbeya to say each one. But you see, that's what I'm saying. It's a very different machlokas. Because by Birkas HaNenin, you're making, when you say Bari Pri Adama, it's on the entity. If you eat lettuce, you say Bari Pri Adama, if you're saying that the lettuce is mechayev you in a shevach on this type of a bria, on this type of creation, right? The only question is, should the matbea be different because the mechayev is a desha, right? So that we all know. But Birkas HaMitzvah, the question is there a Mechayev on each mitzvah? Or is there a Mechayev on the Hesaskas? That's a separate, because it concludes every question. So there's no contradiction in our Shita. We all each mitzvah, in terms of mitzvah, each mitzvah is its own Mechayev. But in terms of Birkas HaNenin, even though each entity has its own Mechayev, there's no reason, there's no Chiyev in the Matbeah to reflect that Mechayev. Something to think about. We didn't really go through it in Shia, but okay. So it's technically not a Chazara. But, okay, so then we went to Yayin.
You wanted the Machlokes about Kiros Arts and the Yonah and Rashi? Yeah.
No. I don't know if we had a definition of that.
You fired off Machlokes
really quick. Oh. Oh, right, that the fruit, that the seed is edible. Right, when the seed itself is edible.
So do we just need the zera to be for the kviyas shem pri?
Right.
And then so in this case you wouldn't need it anymore. So the essence of the thing.
Right.
But you look like you didn't.
Right.
Didn't live on that.
Right. We were saying that that the pri really is the edible part of the seed. The edible part of the seed. That's essentially, that's normally what it is. The essence is seed, but there's an edible part that surrounds it. But by the bean, the seed is edible. So do you say that's called a pre or a seed? Because by the fruit, by the apple, you need the shame of the zera to make it separate from the tree. Because since it's an independent thing, it will grow its own tree, it's not called part of that tree anymore. But once you have it different, now you call the edible part of it a pri. But what if it itself is the pri? Do you say essentially zera? That's why it's separate. Or do you say you only need the idea of zerayim to have it separate, but essentially it's pri? Something to think about. But so the question was yayin. I don't think it's a chitim, right? Chitim is the only bothering a little bit, because chitim is an edible seed. So why doesn't the one who says you make the bar kriya eats bar kriya dhamma on the bean, why isn't zerayim a raya against them? Why isn't chitim a raya against them? So that's what I say, because you could say it's a little different because there. You gotta start patching things up. You gotta start patching things up. But I would say there's a big difference because the plant itself is part of the seed is part of the structure of the plant itself. You don't just pick the fruit off of the wheat. The wheat is essentially fruit. You have to cut the plant to get you have to change the whole tzura of the plant. Whereas a bean, you just pull the bean is just like an outgrowth. All right, then you get back to the same problem of what's an outgrowth and what's a plant. But okay, let's go on. So the question is yayin.
Do we also have the thing of the start of why it only applies to achila, not other vegetables?
Yeah, I don't really want to go into those things for now because why is it only applied to achila? I don't remember.
You're saying, well, the shevach is on the fact that the necessary processes of the body were created in such a way that the others are not.
Oh, right. I mean, the truth is there are a lot of birchen and everything in the morning, all those brachos. I mean, the shevach. Right. But there's shevach on the basic processes of man. You choose, you walk, you wash your face. I mean,
shevach only works for like lightning and thunder. You couldn't say shevach.
No,
of
course, no, doesn't work.
Why not? Similar bracha,
so some
Asim
because they didn't give that mabeah on their way. Then we needed to open.
Find that question next. It says Shahakwa on lightning.
On lightning?
You have to eat a candy at the same time.
That's a good eta.
Definitely. A good apple.
Okay, so the question was, why does Yain get its own bracha? So after all is said and done, we want to say that what? That the bracha on Yain, Rashi explains clearly from the Zayas case, that the bracha on Yain is on the grape, right? The bracha on Yain is really on the grape. Very pre-agotha. And it's really on the grape. So why does it have to be in the end, according to the Gemara, that it's the level of soed? Why can't it be a stein of the leaf? Finally, the Gemara concludes, why does Yayin get its own bracha? Because it's soed, right? Even though it had all the other qualifications of the stein of the leaf and being mazon, why? For two reasons in the conclusion. That it's a shtani and that it's soed. So why were those two things necessary? Yeah.
You're just proofing why, how you know that the Gemara is not abandoning the.
Or Ben Yonah says it. That's a good proof. So now you gotta ask him. But didn't tell me. But
the things are so. Are the things so that in nature don't get their own bracha?
Dates. Well, that's the question. Is it soy or is it muzzle? But anyway. But the idea we wanted to say is this, that you're making a bracha on... And also, what happened to the whole story we said? You shouldn't be too specific. All of a sudden, now you're making a very specific bracha. Right? But very often. So we wanted to say that the fact that there's a shinoi, and that shinoi results in the highest form of ochel, which is something which is soed, that shows that it's part of the Maisa Brachos that Yayin is, you know, that the ability to make Yayin is embedded as a quality in the grape. So that's a Maisa Brachos. That's a new form of that's a new type of a Shevach and a Maisa Brachos that you can give. Because it's not just...
So you're taking
it's Soed, it shows you it's in the Torah's Ochlim... the ultimate thing. It's not just like you're perverting the real idea of ochel in it. You can pervert things. That doesn't mean it's embedded in it. On the contrary, it's a perversion. But if you see that it comes out better in the realm of food, which it is an entity, then you must say it's part of the plan of the creation. Right?
Isn't oil come out better in the realm of food as well?
No, it's not so.
It's still better in the realm of food, right?
Is it better in the realm of food? It's a good question. But it has to be that it's the ultimate expression of... it has to be... I don't know if it is it better in the realm of food. That's what we were wondering about the other day. Is oil better in the realm of food? I mean, not really. It doesn't seem like it, because you never drink it. You never drink oil. But it would seem that it has to be muchach that this is that in the realm of food this is a hidden this is like a segula.
Not that kind of segula, guys.
Talking to the microphone.
What's the society?
It's misameh. And when we showed that the soed of Yayin is not the same soed as Lechem. Because the Tur, Paskins, right, that on Erev Pesach, you can drink even a little bit of Yayin. Right? Because he held, it's not soed like Lechem. And the only reason the Gemara was showing, the only question the Gemara was asking from Sochem was that the Gemara says that Rava did it to be hungry. So if it's even a little soed, it's a kasha. But so when the Gemara says it's a little soed, that's just a kasha. When the Gemara says a soed, that's just a kasha on how did it make him hungry. Doesn't mean it's soed like lechem. Right? And then the Gemara says, so maybe you should bench on it. Maybe you should say birkas hamazon on it. So that we... And then he says, no, people are not kovei sud on it. And he said, so if I'm Kovei Suda on it, maybe I should, if someone is, they should bench. He says, no, that's Baladai Dili Zohar. And Belio comes and tells us it's Kavias, then it's Kavias. So what does that mean? It means to say that's seven mechayev in Birkas HaMazon. Has to be achila b'kviyas, be achalt of the savata. Not just that there was a sviya, not just you had the effect of sviya, but you were kavua, for it was nachilas keva. So lechem is kviyas in food, and yayin is kviyas in mashke. You potter other mashke with the bracha on the yayin. But his question was, he says, but you need Elio to tell you that the kviyas of yayin is the right kviyas. And you can't just do it. You can't just say, I'm going to treat wine like bread. That's about what that is called. But the Acharonim want to say, I mean, the Rishonim want to say, from this Gemara and the Gemara on Yud Beis, is it Yud Beis? By the Te'inim, that if you make Birkas HaMazon on Te'inim, you say. So the Rishonim want to say that so too, if you say Birkas HaMazon on Yayin, you'll be Yotzei. Right? That's why, even if you drink wine in the middle of a meal, you're not chayav another bracha at the end. Then, because it covers it. Even if it's not in the tocha meal, even if it's afterwards, even if it's not tocha suda, you don't make another, you don't make a birkas, you don't make a aligevin. But they say you only have to say the first bracha. You only have to say the first bracha. Because it's Mezon Zaini by the Tainer, right? Mezon Zaini. It's really Birkas HaZon, as you know. Because it's a general. It's a more general Shevach than the Shevach that you're Chayav on in the main Sholos. But Tosis holds that you're not going to be Yotzei main, you're not going to be Yotzei Birkas HaMazon if you're Chayav in Al Michya for cakes from the Zonos. So that we said because that's not a more general form. That's just another form of the specific Bracha on Mazon. So whenever you have two particulars, and the Chazal will cover one, that's mafki the other one. But if there's a particular and a general, the particular is never mafki the general, because you always say shakoni yevro on lechem, and that's why Kiv Eger is troubled over there. That pesach of the Magen Avram, that if you said bari priya eitz on yayin, you're not yotzei, because eitz is yayin, bari priya gefen is eitz. It's just not clarifying which one. But he holds it's just a more general. It's a more general form. Apparently, Morgan Avram held it's another specific. But that's a simple question. And then, then we had the question of Refuah, right? Question of Refuah. Because the Gemara says that if you're Choshesh Begrono on Shabbos and you're looking for the olive oil as a remedy, then you have to mix it into an. You have to. Well, it says you can't be. You can't be Lo Yarenu. Lo Yarenu. So what is Rashi? Rashi holds Lo Yarenu means you can't take the olive oil itself and essentially gargle it, or keep it in your mouth and spit it out. That's what Yarenu means. Yarenu means putting it in your mouth without swallowing it. But Rashi held that if you put it in your mouth with das to swallow it, then you can keep it there for a little while. The only issue is lo Yarenu batchila b'shabbos, right? Meaning to say, don't put it in your mouth l'chatchila for the intent of not swallowing it. But if you intend to swallow it, you can take your own time. So Tosfos says it doesn't make any sense. Even swallowing it should be aser. Because nobody eats olive oil. And Rashi himself said, you don't make a bracha at all in olive oil. Rashi himself said that if you drink plain olive oil, it's not an ochel. Not an ochel. Certainly not an ochel you make a bracha on. So on Shabbos, Tosfos says it's mucha milcha that you mechavim for a fool. So the only way Tosfos tells you have to take the olive oil is in the anigron when you drink it normally. Any other thing that's mochiach, that your kavanah is for a fool, is also. So you couldn't gargle the anigron and you couldn't drink olive oil at all. right? So what's Rashi's shita? What is Rashi hold? So that's what we said, that Rashi held, Rashi says the only types of refuos are refuos hanikaros. Refuos hanikaros. Mishum shchika samana. So Rashi held, apparently, it's a difficult definition, but Rashi seemed to hold, the only Isser on Shabbos are really absolute Maisei Refuah. In other words, a Maisa, the prescribed proper form of the Refuah. The way a doctor, Maisei Rofe, you could say. And that since swallowing the oil is a distortion of the way the proper Maisei Refuah would be done, even though swallowing oil is not Achila, you don't need Achila. All you need is not to do the professional Maisa Refuah. So, and therefore he held the Isser is putting it in your mouth for that Das. Because when you put it in your mouth, depending on your Kavana, that will define whether it's a Maisa Refuah, meaning a proper Maisa Refuah, or not. So if you put it in your mouth to swallow it, that's not the administration of the medical procedure. Doesn't mean you're doing something extreme, you're not doing something normal, but you're not administering that medical procedure. And as long as you're not doing that, now there's no issue just to get the benefit of the oil. There's no issue to get the benefit of the oil, because everyone agrees, even Tosfos agrees. Besocha Nigron, you're getting the benefit of the oil. The Rashi held it's only the professional Maisa. And it makes sense. I mean, I'll tell you why it makes, what's appealing about it, is that what does olive oil have to do with Shechikas Samonim? Right? I understand if you take a pill, that is Shechikas Samonim. That's from Shechikas Samonim. But olive oil, I mean, that you're going to be doing your Shechita on olive. I mean, that's not the So Rashi's saying the gzeira is when you are in the real professional maisa. That's really the gzeira, to engage in the professional practice of medicine. Then that's going to be bringing in all forms of medicine, and it's kind of, which includes shchikas samonim. But you have to be doing something that partakes of shchikas samonim, which is what? Which is the professional ma'aser. But just healing yourself is not partake of shchikas samonim. But Tosfos held any ma'aser refuah is also. So it would have to really be a ma'aser achila. It would have to be a normal ma'aser achila. Anything that's muchach, that's l'shem refuah, is also Maisei Refuah on part of the Gavra is also. So if it's Maisei Achila, it's Mufka from Maisei Refuah. It doesn't matter what your Kavan is anymore. Okay. So then the Gemara says, so that's the Chiddush. So the Gemara says, so that's the case where you make a Bar Priya Eitz on Yayin, on Shemen. When it's in the Anigron. So the Gemara says, Pshita. Now it's just a case. So Rashi learns that the oil is the robe, apparently, in this case. So what's the chiddush? It's just Ikar and Tafel. So saying that you might say that since you're mechavim for a fua, you don't need to make a bracha at all on this mixture. You just drink it without a bracha. Kamash malon, since you get hanoah, you have to make a bracha. Yeah, so we said pshats. It's something to think about, but the question is, what's the machayev of bracha? Is it that you need a matir of bracha to engage in the activity of to engage in the maisa of achila, to engage in his askus of achila, to be someone who's engaged in achila, that was to partake of the realm of Achila, you need a matir. But here I'm not. I'm doing it for refuah. The Achila is just Agav Orcha. I wouldn't do this for the Achila. I'm not really considered to be, as a Gavra, engaging in achila. It's just a Shabbos. I have no other way to do it. But I'm not really, I'm not trying to get any, I'm not intending to get any hanoas achila from this. And if I could just take the oil, I would. It's just, I have to have it through the enigma. So you can't say, in that respect, I don't need, my kavana is not for achila at all. My kavana is for refuah. So I wouldn't need to have the matir of engaging in achila. It's like a medicine. You don't have to make a bracha before you engage in medicine. But the maskana is that since you will be in fact a nene, then you have the now you are capable of the shevach on food. The only reason why you can't make a bracha if you don't eat. It's not that you make a bracha to have the heter to engage in the achila, but if you do eat, now you're mitzuruf to that bria, you're mitzuruf to the creation through the hana, and that itself is a machayev. The fact that you can be mishabeach, you can't just be mishabeach unless you have some tziruf. But the fact that you are a nena, even though you didn't intend for it, that puts you in the position of being a mishabech, and you can't be in that position and not be a mishabech. But we said, according to other Rishonim, like the Rambam, I think we need the Rambam another time. Okay.